so the organizers began to get a little less, how shall I put it, discriminatory?
I understand, I said. I understand, because all I did was wander into the wrong part of the mulch by mistake. Who are you, by the way, and where are you taking me?
She reached up one hand and removed the gauzy helmet and faceted goggles, so that when she turned around to face me, I could see her properly. I'm Taryn, she said, but my friends in the sabotage movement call me Zebra. I realized I'd seen her earlier that night, amongst the clientele at the Stork. She had seemed beautiful and exotic then, but she was even more so now. Perhaps it helped that I was lying down in pain, having just been shot, fevered with the adrenaline which came from unexpected survival. Beautiful and very strange, and, in the right light, perhaps barely human at all. Her skin was either chalk white or hard-edged black. The stripes covered her forehead and cheekbones, and from what I remembered seeing in the Stork, a large fraction of the rest of her. Black stripes curved from the edges of her eyes, like flamboyant mascara applied with maniacal precision. Her hair was a stiff black crest, which probably ran all the way down her back. I don't think I've met anyone like you before, Zebra.
It's nothing, she said. Some of my friends think I'm rather conservative, rather unadventurous.
You're not mulch, are you, Mr. Mirabel?
You know my name. What else do you know about me?
Not as much as I'd like to. She took her hand from the controls, having set the machine into some kind of autopilot mode, allowing it to pick its own trajectory through the interstices of the canopy. Shouldn't you be driving this thing?
It's safe, Tanner. Believe me, the control system of a cable car is quite intelligent, almost as smart as the machines we had before the plague. But it's best not to spend too much time down in the mulch with a machine like this.
About my earlier question.
We know you arrived in the city wearing ice mendicant clothes, and that someone called Tanner Mirabel is known to the mendicants.
I was about to ask Zebra how she knew this much, but she was already continuing.
What we don't know is whether or not this is all a carefully constructed identity to suit some other purpose. Why did you allow yourself to be captured, Tanner?
I was curious, I said, feeling like a repetitious refrain in a third-rate symphony, maybe one of Quirrenbach's early efforts. I didn't know much about the social stratification in Yellowstone. I wanted to reach the canopy, and I didn't know how to go about it without threatening anyone.
That's understandable. There isn't any way.
How did you find any of this out?
Through Waverly.
She looked at me carefully, squinting deep black eyes, causing the stripes on one side of her face to bunch together.
I don't know if he introduced himself, but Waverly was the man who shot you with the stun beam.
You know him?
She nodded. He's one of ours, or at least he has sympathies with us, and we have means of ensuring his compliance. He likes to indulge certain tastes.
He told me he was a sadist, but I thought it was part of the banter.
It wasn't, believe me.
I winced as a wave of pain raced up my leg. How do you know my name?
Waverly passed it to us. Before that, we'd never even heard of Tanner Mirabel. But once we had a name, we could backtrack and confirm your movements. He didn't get much, though. Either he was lying, which I don't rule out. It's not like I particularly trust the one-eyed bastard, or else your memories really are confused.
I had revival amnesia. That's why I spent time with the mendicants.
Waverly seemed to think it went deeper than that, that you might have had something to hide. Is that possible, Tanner? If I'm going to help you, it might help if I trusted you.
I'm who you think I am, I said, which seemed to be all I could manage just then.